Carlos could sing like that. We got to do a duet, brother. Amen? I will do a trio, me and you and Mr. Mendez. You want to sing with us? Mr. Mendez loves to sing to the Lord. And Mr. Marinaccio is smiling. He's going to be the fourth. He'll make it a quartet. Amen? John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Sometimes you have to pick a side. You can't be on all sides. You got to pick a side. I don't like to use the Civil War for illustrations. I was preaching in Maryland one of the very first weeks I was there. I had not been there, but maybe a month or so. And you got to understand that in Maryland, our congregation was very racially mixed. We had everybody. Maryland is a kind of a stirring, a melting pot kind of a thing, and there's all sorts of folks there. And so I used an illustration from the Civil War, and after the service, a lady told me that was offensive to her, and I did not mean to offend. I was just using someone as a illustration, just to point something out. So I use this illustration. Don't be offended if you're dyed in the wool south or dyed in the wool north, or I don't know, but either way. In the Civil War, some people had to pick sides, and it was really sad. There were occasions to where brothers would wind up on one side and on the other fighting each other. That's sad. But folks, we need to pick a side. We need to decide if we're on God's side or we're on the world's side. You'll see why here in just a minute. I know that there are some fascinating things in the world. We are bombarded. We are flooded with influences from the world. We see it on TV. We read it in magazines and on the internet. And we drive by places that represent the world, entertainment all sorts of things that are from the world. And the Lord Jesus Christ called us out of the world. You got to pick a side. You're either going to have to decide that you are on the Lord Jesus Christ's side, on His side, with Him and with what He wants, or you're going to have to decide that you're not with Him, which means you're with the world. And he explains that later in the epistles, that the world crucified Christ. Which side are you going to be on? And when you pick that side, I'm sorry, but you're going to make some enemies. You're going to make some friends. You're going to make some enemies. I was candidating in Maryland. I was candidating. And there's always a troublemaker in the crowd. Now, Brother Greshaw does a good job, don't you think? I'm just kidding. I love Brother Greshaw a whole lot. But there was this troublemaker in the crowd. He didn't stay in the church long after I got there, but he wanted to stir things up a little bit. And he asked me what was a very controversial question, and he knew it, and the people knew it. And now here I am. I'm the candidate. I've got to answer it. I'm not going to tell you what the question was. I don't want to go through that again, all right? But I thought to myself, first of all, my answer has to honor God. Amen? I have to say what God would say. That doesn't mean I have to be brash or obnoxious about it, but I have to say what God would say. In love, tell the truth. And I knew that when I did that, likely as not, there would be some people that wouldn't like my answer. And we like to make people happy. We like to please people when we can without compromising or without doing wickedness. And you like it when people like you. And I knew that if I said a certain answer, some people weren't going to like it. But then the Lord reminded me of something. There will be people that do like it. If I was to stand up at a huge gathering, a basketball game or a baseball game, if they gave me the microphone, and if I took the microphone and I said to that crowd of thousands, Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world, no doubt there'd be some people there that would not like that. They might boo. They might throw things. They might get mad and make a grumpy face or whatever. But I found out something. There'd be some people that like it as well. But don't worry about the people. God likes it. You got to pick a side. And folks, it's not so bad to be on God's side. Now, Jesus is going to remind us of what happens when we pick a side. Let me back up, and just before I get into that, and I won't be long. I'll get you out of here at noon. I got my oven set. Lunch will be ready at noon. I'm going to go home and eat. But we're going to give God's word the time it deserves. But if you haven't picked a side, you've got two choices. You were born in the world. You were born in the flesh. You were born a sinner. The Bible says that we were conceived in sin. And we're sinners by birth and by choice. Everybody's a sinner. You say, well, how can you call me a sinner? Let's just start here. I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. The Bible says all have sinned. Just simple Bible. All have sinned. And so that's the side you were born on. You were born, don't get too theological here, but you were born on the wrong side. And then the Lord Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit to you, as he may be doing today. And he said, my son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father said, my son died to pay for your sins that you were born in, that you've chosen to do, so that you can be on my side. I'm so glad I chose to be on that side. I'm so glad God sent the Word of God and the man of God and the message of God and burdened my heart. And one day, as a young man, oh, I don't know, 12, 13 years old, God made it clear to me, you're a sinner and you're on your way to hell. But I'll save you if you'll ask me to. But folks, when you got saved, you changed sides. I'm not on the devil's side anymore. And by the way, the world and the devil are on the same side. I'm not on the side that crucified Christ. I'm on the side that Christ died for. And I could sum up this entire passage, half of it at least, I could sum it up real simply by saying this: I'm on the side that Christ died for, and they don't like that. But when you pick a side, you chose to be with some people, and sadly, some people will choose to hate you. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. You'll see it very clearly here in the passage, and then we'll come up with some simple application and enjoy what God has to say to us today. I just will remind you, if you weren't here last week or the week before, we're in the middle of the chapter. The chapter began with the love of God. Now he's talking about the hatred of the world in verse 18, John 15, 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not known, they had not sinned. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you now that we have this privilege of opening the pure Word of God and reading it and hearing it. Thank you that the Holy Spirit has promised that the Word of God would not return void. We've enjoyed our service already, but now help us to hear from you and help us to know that we're hearing from you. And I pray the words I say would clarify what you have to say and that it would make the Bible understandable even more than it already is. But Lord, today I pray that each one here has chosen the side to be on, and they would realize that when they chose your side, they chose to be different. They chose to be changed. They chose some things that the world cannot offer them, but you offered them to us through the blood of Christ on the cross. God, please bless now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Told my Sunday school class I was on a trip in the Mediterranean, and I was getting off of a ship, and I was wearing a t-shirt, or going to wear a shirt, and it had an American flag on the front of it. Nice looking shirt, nice flag. Someone said to me, that might not be a good idea. If you wear that shirt in this part of the world, it's going to make you a target. I think, the more I think about it, we were in Egypt, and I thought, yeah, that would be kind of silly to walk around with a shirt that says, I'm from the country that you don't like. And so I changed shirts and didn't think I needed to make a point that day. By the way, let people see Christ in you. Don't change. Why would someone hate? I don't need to explain this in detail. The Bible has done so already. In fact, that's what verse 19 says. It says, the reason they hate you is because they hate the Lord Jesus Christ. We have some men in our church. I encourage you to join them, by the way. Tuesday night, usually Thursday night sometime, they go out to the neighborhood and they knock on doors. And Brother Dahlman is among them. He's off working with children right now. And Brother Hill over here, he's a faithful soul winner. And Brother Hill, every door you come to, they hug you and tell you they're so glad that you're there, don't they? Why? A Christian. Oh, I've been waiting for one to come to my house and tell me that I'm on my way to hell and get me saved. They all say that, right? No, I don't think so. I remember one of the very first times. I can still see the porch in my mind. There's a house in the Dallas area. I knock on the door, and this kid comes to the door, and I told him I was from the church, and I could hear people in the background laughing. They thought that was funny, and he thought it was funny too, and he just closed the door on me. And at first, I was kind of hurt. And then I thought to myself, oh, he's going to wake up in hell one day knowing he closed the door on the gospel that could take him to heaven. If you've chosen your side, if you've chosen the Lord Jesus Christ's side, you're different from those folks. Knocked on a, well, was with a teenager. He and I visited a teen one time in Salt Lake City. And the young man was obviously living a wicked lifestyle, and you could tell by his house and by what he was doing, and probably some drugs involved and some foul language and all the rest. And he said, oh, I'm going to go to heaven. And I said, how do you know? Oh, I just do, he said. Wrong answer. You can know you're going to go to heaven, but you don't know because you just do. You know because Christ died for your sins. And I'm not usually this pointed, but I said to him, you need to know something. If you're living a life like hell, you're probably going to go there when you die. He didn't think that was very funny. I wasn't trying to be funny. I was trying to get his attention because it's the truth. Jesus says to the disciples in verse 18, he says, if the world hate you, and that word if is an interesting word. It's kind of like saying, if the sun comes up tomorrow in Phoenix, it's going to be hot. I didn't mean the sun might not come up. It's a way of phrase of speech which reinforces what I'm saying. It's going to be hot. Somebody sent me a text this week from Maryland or somewhere out there, and they were talking about how wonderful the weather was. And oh, I know what it was. They had an outdoor service on July the 4th. Had a tent. And I told them, I said, we would do that, but the heat casualties would reduce the membership in the church so much we couldn't go on. And he said, yeah, but I heard it's a dry heat. Everybody in Phoenix, if you've heard that about 100 times. And I said, no, it's a hot heat. I don't care how dry it is, when it's 115 degrees, you run the AC and stay in the house. You Marylanders can do outside all you want. We don't do that kind of thing out here, not until October at the earliest. He says, if, What he means is, it's going to happen. Sins of the world hate you. And the reason folks don't hug Brother Hill when he knocks on their door to try to keep him out of hell is because they don't love the Lord Jesus Christ either. We sang that song just now. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. I think about songs like that. Don't you realize somebody who wrote that song meant it with all their heart? And I have to ask myself, and you should do the same, how sweet is the name of Jesus to you? It really should be a sweet name. You know how much God loves you? You know, we talk of our wife, and I'm not one for this particular word, but some of you are. You say, sweetheart, or that was sweet, or, you know, it's a term of endearment. It just shows that you love somebody. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Then his name should be sweet to you because you love him. The world does not love the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, they hate him. And this is a comfort to me. I think it will be to you, to Brother Hill, to Brother Dahlman, to others that go knock doors. When they treat you very unkindly, and that's an understatement sometimes, but when they treat you unkindly when you try and give them the gospel, that's because that's the way they treat the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, their sin crucified him. Ours did too, by the way, but we've turned from that to him. Their sin, he went to the cross for them. And they crucified him, and that's the way they feel about him. They might not admit it, but if they loved him, they would love you. I knocked on a door in Maryland one time. These were the nicest people. They said, come on in. And they went back and they got me a bottle of water. Now, in Arizona, we always do that. You just give people water. But in Maryland, they don't do that. Like maybe these people moved from Arizona. I don't know. But they got me a bottle of water, and they sat me down at the table. They were so polite to me. They were Christians. The way you treat other people is the way you treat the Lord. If you don't remember anything else about this message today, remember that. John says, if you don't love your brother who you can see, don't say you love God who you can't see. But the world is going to hate you. I don't care for that, but that's the way it is. That's what Jesus says in verse 18. Hatred. To hate something is to greatly dislike it, to detest it, to despise it. Cain hated Abel and killed him. Esau hated Jacob, the Bible says. Joseph's brothers hated him and threw him in a pit. Absalom hated Amnon. The Bible says in Matthew 10, ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. John 15:18 says, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. The reason they hate us is because we're different. Now, that's what I want to spend the next 15 minutes or so on, and then we'll be on our way home. And so let's take a look at how different we are. When we picked that side, when we chose the Lord Jesus Christ, three things that are different about us. The first one, I'm just simply going to illustrate rather than spending time in the passage, but I will show you verse 19. The Bible says, right in the middle of that verse, ye are not of the world. Not of the world. You could say not part of, but it's easier to understand when you say from. You're not from the world. You know what's an interesting thing? The Bible says we have a home in heaven. We're different. We may not have, we will not have absolute comfort and ease between now and the day that we step into eternity. But when you step into eternity, folks, the pain and the sickness and the sadness and the sin and the suffering and the sorrow and anything that goes with this world is going to be left behind. I wonder how Brother Leo Jacobs is today. You haven't got to wonder. I know how Brother Leo Jacobs is today. I know how he was before he left. He didn't feel too good. He didn't look too good. He had a hard life, had a lot of health issues. Brother Leo's doing great. He's with the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's nothing wrong at all. And I could name some other folks that have stepped into eternity in the last 3 or 4 or 5 years. Folks, the Bible says to be absent from the body, if you've chosen Jesus' side, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Can't wait. We have a different home. We have a different view. We see things differently. Look at verse 20. He says, the servant is not greater than his Lord. I just want to ask you an honest question. Who do you serve? Who does your life serve? Most people, if you took the 6 or 7 billion people in the world, and if you had some way to ask each of them that question, and if they would answer you honestly, most people would say, I serve myself. That's what most people do. They do what makes them happy. They do what gets things for them. They do what makes them comfortable. They do what makes them feel pleasure. And they're their own boss. And you don't normally like having any other bosses. Who's your boss? Who do you serve? If you've chosen the Lord Jesus Christ, I hope you can say, I serve Jesus. Folks, it's an honor to serve Jesus. I like to listen to people pray and some of the things they say. And we were back here praying earlier today, and somebody said, Lord, thank you for the privilege of letting us serve you today. God doesn't need servants. You knew that, right? He could do it all himself if he wanted to. He created the world in 6 literal days just by speaking. But it's a privilege to serve him. That's a different way of seeing things than the world sees it. Most people look at God, if they're lost, sadly, and they say to themselves, well, he expects things from me that I can't do. And if I did what he wanted, I'd be miserable. I had to give everything up and it'd be a horrible life. And you know what? It's not that way at all. Not at all. We have a different view of things. We see God differently. We see God as the one who loved us and died to pay for our sins. And I can't get past what I read in the Bible earlier today. He's the God of all grace. God is gracious. You know, it was gracious beyond measure that the church would give my wife a birthday gift like they did. And it was really nice. It had all sorts of things in it. Lady goodies, stuff I can't use, stuff I can't eat. There were those peppermint patties that were pretty good. But anyway, just things for my wife. That was gracious. Could have just sang happy birthday and sent her on her way. And that's fine. But you did more. Folks, that's what God does if you will let him in your life. He does more. He's gracious. Now, I know we're in the world. I know the world hates us, and I know why the world hates us, because it hates him. But I'd a lot rather be with him than be with that. We have a different view. We see things differently. Third thing, we have different companions. Now, there's one particular one here that I'm interested in. Actually, a couple. There's the Trinity, if you've ever heard that phrase. The three members of the Godhead, and that's a Bible word, Godhead. Those three members of the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Spirit, they're all seen in verses 23 through 27. In verse 23, you see the Father mentioned. The very first word in verse 23 is the word He. That's the Son. And then in verse 26, it says the Comforter. And he even mentions that's the Spirit of God. So you get those three. And here's what the Bible says. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. When you chose the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you chose His side, and you chose to leave the world's side, you got some good company. Because the Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ lives in you. The Bible says if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to God. I can ask you that question. I ask you about serving in terms of view. Can I ask you in terms of companionship? Does the Lord Jesus Christ live in your heart? He will. He can. And if he does, that's pretty good company. In fact, the Bible says he promised he would never leave us or forsake us. And Jesus says, back up in verse 23, he says, if you hate me, you hate my Father. But the converse of that is true. If you love him, you love the Father. somebody says, well, you know, I believe that Jesus is not important. He's not the Son of God. And he's oh, I love God, but I don't love Jesus. You can't do that. If you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't love the God of the Bible. You may love some other God that's a pretend or a wannabe, but you don't love the God of heaven unless you love the Lord Jesus Christ. Just Bible. It's real simple stuff there. So he says in verse 24, he says, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. Back in verse 21, it says, they know not him that sent me. He talks in verse 24 about what he had done when he was in their presence. But folks, do you know him? Does he live in your heart? Does he talk to you? When you sin, does he convict you of the wrong of that sin and move you to ask for forgiveness? When you consider serving, does he guide your direction of your service? I believe with all my heart, the reason you're here today, in many cases, one of two things. You're either here today because God said, it's the Lord's day, you need to go to church. And you thought, praise God, I'm going to go to church. Or you might be here because the Lord wants to see you get saved. It happens. We've had many people come down, and it's not a scary or complex. It's the most wonderful thing you can imagine. You simply let someone take a Bible. We all use the same Bible around here. It's a very clean, pure Bible. We take a Bible, sit down with you, and show you how you can be a child of God, how you can receive the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes what you figure, Mr. Mendez, 10, 15 minutes at the most. A fellow came to me in Maryland one time and said, I want to get saved. Okay, well, let's go have lunch and I'll show you how. Got in the car, we're on the way to lunch. I didn't know what to talk about, so I began to tell the guy how to get saved. We're driving down the road, I'm quoting verses. He's riding along in the passenger seat. By the time we got to the restaurant, it was sort of like, well, you heard everything you need to hear. Let's just pray now and go eat. And he did. He got saved in the car before we ever entered the restaurant. It's just that simple. Was in a nursing home one time preaching and explained the gospel to some people. And I said, you could get saved right now. And this fellow started raising his hand. And I said, I'm teaching here. Wait till I'm... No, he said, I want to get saved right now. Folks, one more. Pastor's in Brazil. Man that I know. He's preaching in Brazil. Big crowd. Maybe, I don't know, a couple hundred people. He's preaching through a translator. So he's speaking English, the translator's speaking Portuguese. And the pastor says, you could get saved right now. Translator says it in Portuguese. They look up. Here comes a man down the aisle. Pastor says, what's going on? Translator says, you said you can get saved right now. He wants to get saved. It's not that hard. You just pick a side. I want to be on the Lord Jesus Christ's side. You understand from the Bible what he did for you, and you ask him to save you. God might have brought you here today for that. I sadly have seen people come to church, hear that, and leave unsaved. That's a dangerous thing. We're different, folks. We have a different home. We're on our way to heaven. Oh, by the way, you ever take a trip, business trip, vacation trip? I took lots of business trips about 30 some odd 40 years ago. I used to travel all the time. And I'd go and stay in a motel, and I'd eat in a restaurant. I'd go do the work, and I'd go back home. The whole time I'm on the trip, I'm thinking, I get to go back home. My wife and I would talk on the phone, and she'd tell me how things are at home. And then I didn't go to that business trip and say, well, tomorrow I can't come to the meeting. I'm going to build a house here. I want something permanent here. No, I'm on a trip. I got something permanent at home. Folks, you got something permanent in heaven. This is all temporary. Don't spend too much time building here. You got a mansion waiting for you there. We have a different home, a different destination. We have a different view. We have different companions, one another, and the Holy Spirit. The world consists of those that we love, we hope they get saved, but the people in the world don't have those things I just told you about. They don't understand serving the Lord, or they don't understand eternity. It's like I told you the story of my stepfather. The man asked him, what's going to happen to you when you die? He said, they're going to cremate me and that's the end of me. No, it's not the end of you. That's the end of your body, but your spirit goes on. And praise God, we know where ours is going to go. People in the world don't have that. We've trusted Christ as our Savior. We made a decision. We changed sides. We're not on the world's side anymore. We don't try to please it, dress like it, look like it, act like it, talk like it, enjoy it, live for it. That's not our home. Amen? If this all sounds strange to you, I want you to know you can change sides. And it's a good side you're going to if you change sides. God would have everyone join that side if they would. When we rejected the world chose to hate us in the very same way they chose to hate Christ, without a cause. He came to save them, and they hated him anyway. The Bible says that. Jesus, the prophet, said that they will hate him without a cause. When Mr. Hill knocks on a door, and he's got a little piece of paper that cost 3 cents, I think. It's about that big on both sides. Contains the truth that can deliver you from hell and take you to heaven. He didn't knock on that door because he enjoys walking around in the Phoenix heat in the summertime. He didn't knock on that door because he's mad at those people and wants to chew them out. He has nothing against them. In fact, he's there to help them. Why would they hate him? Because they hate Christ. And he represents Christ. I hope you love the Lord Jesus Christ. Being with Christ is going to cause some enemies. But loving Christ is going to gain you everything. A home in heaven, a different way of seeing this world, and fellowship with God Himself through the Word and through prayer for all eternity. Amen? Are you on the right side? I'm sorry some folks are going to hate you for it. But if it means having to be hated because I love God, I'm going to love God. Let's all stand and pray.